First, I just want to tell the church how much I love you. I want you to know, Lord, I was thinking on the way over here. Friend, I don't even really know you. We've talked on the phone just a couple of times. But I want you to know that I have a love for you. And I'm thankful that that love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. And it wasn't anything that I did to make that love of God. The Lord, by my faith in the Lord Jesus, He shed that love of God down deep in my heart. And I'm so thankful. And I was thinking a lot like Uncle Lonnie was talking about on the way up this morning. I was thinking about how that our life is just a vapor. Our brother James says, what is your life? Consider it. He says, what is your life? It's just a vapor. It's here for a moment. I was driving down the road and the car came to pass us and there was a lot of exhaust that came out of the back of their car. And as I drove by it, you could see it for just a minute. And then all of a sudden it just dissipated. And just that quick, he said, what is your life? It's but a vapor. It's here for just a moment. And I know being young right now, that's hard to see. Lord, when I was your age, I thought that life just took forever. It took seemed like it took forever for me to get out of high school, and then it took forever for me to get out of college. But now, after I've passed those first 20 years, Uncle Lonnie, this second 20, it went by so fast, I just blinked, and I was like, Lord, what happened to it? You know, Brother Langston and I were sitting down talking just a second ago, and he said, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, you're going to blink, and your daughter's going to be driving. And I said, I know it. I said, I've got 3 years and she's going to be out there on the roads driving. But life passes so fast. And the amount of time that we have down here, our brother Tim back home, he tells us that in this life is where we do the sowing, where we put into the ground, and in the life to come is where we reap what it is that we have sown. He says that, like Uncle Lonnie was talking about, the decisions that we make down here, where we spend our time, what we spend our time focusing on, do we spend it on things of this world that are going to... Sister Laura back home, she testified the other day. Man, it was a great testimony. She said, I used to get so caught up in decorating my house and having just the perfect end table or the perfect chair that was just exactly right. And she said, I was obsessed with these things before I received the Holy Ghost. And she said, before I made it, the Lord let me know. He said, you know these things that you love so much and that you're so obsessed with? He said, they're just fancy firewood. He said, in just a moment and a twinkling of an eye, this world is going to change. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And we know that He says everything in this world is going to be burned up. But that spirit that is within man, God, when He created man, He created Adam and He created Eve and He breathed into them the breath of life, that spirit that comes from God. And that spirit, when we die, is going to go back to one or two places. It's either going to go back to a God who loves us and who is calling us and telling us, come, come. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's rest here. I know it doesn't feel like it now, but there's rest here. Being a child of God, if when you can turn aside all of these things that have you bound down, there is rest that comes with being a child of God. I want to read just a little bit to you out of the Word of God, if the Lord will allow me. And what's been on my heart the last couple of weeks is trying to get a better understanding of what the Word of God says about our heart. Because the Bible, I pulled up in a concordance as best I could, and it was almost, I copied and pasted it into a Word document, and it was at least 25 pages of verses that talks about the heart of man. At least 25 pages. And I was going through there trying to understand a little bit more and a little bit more about what the maker of our heart tells us about our heart. Because if we want to know anything that is truthful about the heart of man, we need to go to the person who is the creator of our heart to get an understanding of who we are. We'll start off, Lord willing, over in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 6, God had created Adam and Eve, and then the world began to populate. And this was just before Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." God saw that the wickedness of man was great. Only God, Aunt Doshi, only God knows what's down in your heart. I can look, I as man only look at the outward appearance. I can only see the outward appearance. But God, He looks down into the heart. And He knows, even without you having to say the words that you are speaking in your heart. And He knows them. And I was thinking about the sisters, you were testifying just a little bit ago, and how that you were saying that there are so many other people who have a need out there. But I want to encourage you a little bit, because God's power is unlimited. There is no finite number or amount of God's power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can touch your body. And it's not taking something away from somebody else when the Lord moves on your body. It's not, it's kind of like when I had a child. I'm jumping all over the place, y'all, and I know I am, and I want y'all to pray for me, because I'm just trying to do what the Lord leads me to do. But when we had our first child, we had Reese, and I loved that girl. I mean, my heart just overflowed when I saw her, and I was so in love with that young girl. And then about 2 years later, we got pregnant with another baby, and here comes Reagan. And I was thinking, before he came, I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I love this kid so much, how in the world can I love this one anywhere close to the amount that I love that one? I mean, I was looking at it kind of like it was a pie, and there was only so much of my love that could go around. And the Lord showed me, you're looking at it wrong. I didn't understand it until we had Reagan, till he came along. And then when he showed up in this world, I love him just as much as I love that Reese. Not even a little bit less. I'm telling you, it's just as much. So it is an infinite supply of that love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart. And if you need a touch from the hand of the Lord today, asking for it from the Lord is not taking it from somebody else. All it's doing is going to your Father, and your Father is saying, I've got an abundant supply of whatever it is that you need. Come to me and ask, like you said, in faith. Believing on Him. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. You gotta have faith and believe that the Lord will do what He's asking you to do, what we are asking of Him. And all y'all know, we got another one on the way. And I tell you, I'm excited, because it's still hard to fathom that I can love another one just as much, but I'm excited about it. Because it's just that love just grows and just grows, and I can't wait. I'm so excited about that love in my life just continuing to grow. It's so good, Uncle Lonnie. It's good to be a child of God. It's good to have a Heavenly Father who knows our every need, Shelley. Every single need, and He knows our every thought. And that's how I got on that, is because of the thoughts. Now, thank you, Lord. He's bringing me back around. He's good to me that way. I'll get off on a tangent and He'll bring me back around. But those thoughts that we have, you talking to the Lord doesn't distract the Lord from Him hearing you. He can hear every single prayer. And you're not taken away from Him, and you're not taken away from her when you take up as much time as you can talking with your Heavenly Father. And He, Lord, when I get home, I want to hear about my baby's days. I want to know, I was gone and I had to be away from them all day, and I want to know, what'd you do today? How was it? Was it a good day? Tell me about it. I just want to hear whatever it is. And the Lord wants to have a relationship of just being able to talk with you. You don't necessarily have to go to Him just asking for stuff all the time. Lord, if my kids just came asking me for stuff all the time, you know, you get just a little tired of that every now and then. Don't you just want to spend time with me? Don't you just want to come and just be with me? Not because you need something, but just because you love me that much. Lord, that's how good it is. And it's taken me time to develop that relationship with my Lord. I'll tell you, it has. It's taken me time to get to that place in my mind where, Lord, I just want to come and just be with you. I'm not even asking for anything right now. Lord, just let me sit. And you know, one of the best ways to sit, the Word of God is true. Every promise in that Word of God is true. Whether we believe it or not, it's true. And He says that where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing in my name, there He would be in the midst. If I want to be just sitting and enjoying being with my Father, this is the best place to do it. Right here. Right here in the house. Because if you're a child of God, the Word of God tells us, Brother Langston, we're in our Father's house. If we are His children, then we are in our Father's house. And I've been blessed to have a good daddy. You were blessed to have a good daddy. And when I went into my daddy's house, I wasn't allowed to act up now. If I got into my daddy's house and I started acting a fool, he'd call me down and I'd be in trouble. Don't come into the house of God acting a fool. But if I'm acting the way I'm supposed to be acting and I can step into my Father's house, I'm just as comfortable there in my daddy's house as I am anywhere in the world. And this is the place where we need to be, drawing strength from each other, just encouraging each other, being together with one another, and just enjoying the love of God. How good it is. I'll get back to reading the Word of God if He'll let me. I ask y'all to pray for me because I know He's my father-in-law. Lord, I love him. And He and I got to talking one day, and I went out to Stockbridge, and the Lord let me talk out there. And I said, I felt like I was all over the place. And He said, I like gumbo. He said, there's something like that. He said, but it's kind of like holiness gumbo. It's just kind of whatever you got and whatever the Lord sends, we're going to throw into the pot, and we're going to just feast from whatever the Lord provides us today. And I ask y'all to pray for me that the Lord will lead me. And Lord, we've been having good services back there in Alabama. And I'm telling you, there is a change that is taking place. God is sending out a call to these people, and we are able. It's not every time that people get down here and pray that we feel and are able to pray for them. We try. We get down there and work with them. That doesn't stop us from getting down there and praying and working with them. But there's a difference between us trying and working with them and then the Lord coming by and letting us pray for them. And there has been a change that we have felt over the last couple of services. And as much as I love y'all, I hate to say it, I really didn't want to come up here this morning. I didn't want to because I am expecting that I'm going to miss something back there. I'm expecting it. And that's the faith that I have in my Lord, that I'm expecting the Lord to pour out the Holy Ghost. And getting back to it's not taking something away from up there. We can have just as many receive the Holy Ghost here as up there. There's not a limited supply of the amount of Holy Ghost, and it's just a whosoever will way. It takes obedience and it takes faith in the Lord. You've got to be, that obedience that you have is the evidence that you have faith in His promises and what it is He's going to do for you. Lord willing, we'll get into that just a little bit more, maybe in a second. But let's keep reading. He says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Uncle Lonnie, you're talking about decisions. I can't control at all the decisions that you make. I have no control over it. As much as I want to, as I think I would like to make the decision for you, I can't do it. I listened to a sermon by Granddaddy the other day. I have been pulling them up where Mom had recorded them on cassette tapes, and he was trying to encourage those that didn't have the Holy Ghost and those that do. He said, be careful what you think about. Be careful. Be careful what you let your mind meditate on and what you let your mind think on. Be careful about the thoughts that you spend time thinking on, because those thoughts will eventually have an effect on your actions. And I want you to spend time thinking on the good things of the Lord. The promises of God, Brittany, He says they are yes and amen. Thank the Lord. And that old spirit, when it comes to you, that's telling you, no, no, I can't have it. No, He doesn't love me anymore. No, He's not dealing with me. That's not the spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of the other fella. But the Lord's promises are yes and amen, and you can have this good Holy Ghost. Lord, I feel it from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. You can have it. And I want you to have that faith like what I do for you. I want you to believe that you can leave a child of God today. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him, grieved God at his heart. That verse really struck me. It's amazing to me that our God has a heart. He experiences emotion, anger, sadness, joy. He has a heart, but thankfully his heart is not evil, and it doesn't have evil imaginations, but he has a heart just like I do, and Brother Langston, my actions affect the way his heart feels. And I'm going to go into that just a little bit, and I'm going to explain. I'll read you some more scripture to help back that up. Let's flip over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Excuse me. Jeremiah was a prophet. And was letting the people know that unless they repented, God was going to pour out His wrath on them. And they were going to lose out on the inheritance that God had given them. They had a right to an inheritance that God had given them. But it came with a caveat that you have to love me and keep my commandments and not go following after these other gods. And if you do that, you can have this promise that I have given to you. Chapter 17, the sin of Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. I don't know that there's hardly any substance any stronger than a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. The sin that was in my life before I received the Holy Ghost, and the sin, if you do not have the Holy Ghost, that is in your life right now. He says that that sin, every single one of those transgressions against God's law, those thoughts dwelling on things that we shouldn't be dwelling on, those actions doing things we shouldn't be doing, those sins are written on a stony heart that you have right now with a pen of iron that has the tip of a diamond, and it just engraves it. Kind of like, did y'all ever read The Scarlet Letter growing up? No, y'all might not have read that, but The Scarlet Letter was a book that we had to read, and a woman had relationships outside of marriage, and because of that, they made her wear a scarlet letter A on her chest, branding her as an adulteress. And what I believe this scripture is saying is that, thankfully, we don't have people, we're not making people walk around with a scarlet letter on their chest. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. Because I'm telling you, if you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, I don't want to know your sin. That's between you and the Lord. And God can forgive you of every single bit of that and wipe it all away. But until He has, that scarlet letter is sitting on your heart. And it's been engraved on there. And the Lord, God, sees that. And it hurts His heart. It brings Him pain to look and see that you have exchanged the love of the Father, of what He wants to try and give you, for love for doing what you want to do. Love of chasing after your own will and your own ways. And He says that sin has been engraved on your heart with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Skipping down to verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and who maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." He's saying, don't put your trust in things of this world. Don't put your trust in other men to come in and help you and to save you, because every single bit of those things are vanity and they're going to pass away. But He says, put your trust in the Lord. "For He shall be like the heath in the desert," which is like a bush out there in the desert, "and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." Lord, is that how you feel right now without the Holy Ghost? Do you feel like you're just walking around in a parched, barren land? Or are you so comfortable in that parched, barren land that you've just gotten used to it? And you don't even realize how dry and how thirsty you are just because you've gotten used and comfortable into living in it. Brittany, I'm thankful because I believe the Lord is working with you, and there was a time where you had gotten comfortable in that dry land, and He's not letting you be comfortable in it anymore. Thank the Lord, He's pursuing you. He's pursuing that heart, and He's saying, there is a better land that has water abundant, and if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. "Blessed is the man," verse 7, "blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." I'm going to go back just a second. If you are comfortable in that parched and dry and desert land, I am scared for your soul. And I hope that puts a fear in your heart. If you are comfortable living there, in away, separated from God, if you are comfortable staying in that position, I hope that the Lord will do a miracle in you and give you eyes to see just exactly where you are and how much you need the Lord today. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Is it in the Lord? For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know what it's saying right there? Those of us that are trusting in the Lord and putting our faith and our hope in the Lord, he doesn't take us out of this land, this dry, parched land. What he does is put us right there beside the river. Right there beside the river, and those roots begin to go down deep and they reach out to that riverbank. And even when the drought comes, thank Carolyn, even we've been through drought times. We've been through them. We've seen the drought times, Lord, but we know that that Spirit of the Lord has not forsaken us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. As long as you don't leave me, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. And those of us that have put our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord, we're like the tree that's planted by that river. And even when the drought comes, Uncle Lonnie, even when everybody around us is like that dry heath bush, we're still able to get substance, to get sustenance, and to live off of that water from those roots that have been planted so deep, and that water that is flowing everlasting. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. You know, I didn't realize this until I started reading it, but he's using two different pronouns. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. I think what he's saying here is it doesn't matter male or female, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your age. If you have not already received the Holy Ghost and transgressed against the law of God and gone away from the Lord, there is still hope for you. There is still hope for you today. And you can leave a child of God. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Here, verse 9 is one of the most, I believe, descriptive verses if we want to know what a person's heart is before they receive the Holy Ghost. If you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, verse 9 is a picture in words of what your heart is right now. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's harsh. That's not a warm, fuzzy, touchy-feely. That's harsh. Jonathan, what he's telling you today is no matter how good you think you have lived your life, without the Holy Ghost, that sin is still written all over the stony heart that you have, and that heart is deceitful. It is lying to you and will lie to others. And it is desperately wicked. That's the heart that you have right now. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Uncle Lonnie, I am thankful it's not my job to search the hearts of men. Lord, I am so thankful. It's not up to me to judge you whether you're worthy of having put your trust in the Lord and having repented of all your sin. It's not up to me to look down into your heart and to be the judge of your heart. There is only one that looks down into the heart of man, and he says the Lord is his name. He looks down into your heart and he judges you. And I don't have to. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 36. And Lord willing, I'm going to try and wrap this up. Ezekiel was a prophet that preached to the children of Israel after the wrath of God had come upon them. Jeremiah was trying to warn them, if you don't repent, if you don't change, the wrath of God is going to come on you and you're going to lose out on this promised land that God has given you. They didn't repent. They allowed the imaginations of their heart to continually be evil, and the Lord, in his justice, poured out his wrath on the children of disobedience. And because of that, they lost out on that promise that they had. Now, Ezekiel, the children of Israel, are in the land, in a foreign land, living as captives. And Ezekiel is trying to talk to them and to prophesy to them. Verse 16, chapter 36, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a woman, of the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it." God poured out his fury on them because of their disobedience. "And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings I judged them." According to their actions is how the Lord judged them. "And when they entered into the heathen," when they went to the heathen land, "whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said unto them, These are the people of the Lord, and they are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." So now he's giving them, he's telling them, this is what happened to you because of what you did. Here is the hope that I want to leave you with. Here's the hope that's out in front of you. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So I want you to see, there is a new heart. And I want you to recognize who gives you the new heart. Uncle Lonnie, your kidneys are giving you fits. You need a new kidney. That organ, there is nothing that you can do on your own to keep that to fully bring that organ back to the state that God wanted it in to begin with. You don't have the power to do it. The same thing with Brother Eric. You need a new liver. Brother Eric cannot do anything on his own to get that liver back to a perfect condition. What he can do is be obedient to what the physicians tell him. He can be obedient to the words that come down from the physician so that he can keep from damaging that organ any worse than what it already is, and to try and get it ready for a transplant. Because that's what the physician's trying to do right now. He's giving you these steps. We've been talking about it. You got to get your A1C down to this certain level. You got to do these certain steps, these things that you have to do. Those things don't give him a new liver. Those things don't make his liver whole again. All they're doing is getting him in the position and ready that he can go under the anesthesia, fully surrender his will, his thoughts, his ways, yea, even his own life, completely surrender everything and let the great physician give him a new liver. He's got to do those things to get ready for that new liver. But doing those things do not earn him a new liver. That doesn't cause his liver to be regenerated. So what I want you to understand today, if you are lost without the Lord, you think these guys are in need of a new organ? You have a heart disease that is going to kill you and send you to an eternal hell. Forevermore separated from the love of God, forevermore separated from the comfort of being around the children of God, being in the house of God, and the punishment for that disobedience. You're going to be able to look across that gulf and see over into that glory land world, and that father that spent so many years praying for you, that mother and that grandmother that prayed for you, you're going to be able to look over there into that glory land world, and part of your punishment is to look on them and to see them rejoicing in the love of God. But they're not going to be able to see you over there, because he says there's not a single tear in that land. He says no tears are going to enter in over there. But what I want you to know today, you have a heart disease that is killing you. Whether or not you're willing to go and listen to the doctor doesn't change the fact that your heart is killing you right now. You are dying right now. And you desperately need a new heart. Brittany, I want you to know, you can't live good enough. That's a lie of the devil. You cannot live good enough to be worthy of receiving the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. You won't ever live 365 days without committing a sin, and then the Lord says, bam, yep, he's worthy. That's not how it works, Aunt Donna. And I'm thankful that that's not how it works. It is a moment and a decision that we make in an instant with a courage bold, that we stand upon the Word of God. We stand on the promises of God. And those of you that need the Holy Ghost, that need a new heart, the steps that you have to take to get ready for that new heart are simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. Poor Aunt Carolyn, others are helping Uncle Lonnie with this dialysis. And Aunt Carolyn told me the other day, she said she wrote down like 105 steps just to get Uncle Lonnie ready, just to put him on dialysis. Like 105 steps, not even to do the dialysis, but just to get ready to put him on dialysis. It's not that many steps to receiving the Holy Ghost. God made it simple so that a dummy like me can do it. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord made it simple, because he says that Without faith, Uncle Lonnie, it is impossible to please Him. We must first believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If any man is going to come to the Lord, if you want to have a new heart, if you want to have that heart transplant, you must first have faith in the Lord. And part of the faith that you have, the evidence that you have faith in the Lord, is the repentance that you do in your heart by saying, Lord, I'm going down this path right here, and I know this is not the path You want me to go. This is against the Word of God. I'm going to do a 180, and I'm going to walk the other way, and I'm going to walk right in the center. I don't want to get too far on this side or too far on this side. Lord, just let me walk just as close to the center of that line as I can, so that I can live, that You will recognize that what I am trying to do is to repent before You. That I am repenting, and that repentance is evidence that You have faith. And the faith is then what imputes the righteousness of God unto you. Because it's going to take you coming down here. We had a young lady praying the other day in the altar. And she was down here praying, and I was down there, right? And there were several of us praying right around her. And I was down there praying, and as I was praying, that old accuser, who's present, he's here fighting us, and he's saying, she's not going to make it today. That's what he's telling me. She's not going to make it today. She won't make it today. But I felt the Lord while I was down there. I felt the Lord, and I could feel the Lord working with her. And that old adversary, the liar, the father of a lie, began to say, she's not going to make it today. And then all of a sudden, it didn't take long. It wasn't a huge, long, drawn-out process, but it was just an instant, for just a few seconds. That doubt went away. And I believe the doubt in her mind went away for just a few minutes, because I could feel, I said, Lord, she's going to make it. Lord, she's going to make it. And that power of the Lord began to roll up and down through the avenues of my soul. And that doubt that was there for just a few minutes had vanished away. But then that old adversary, he doesn't give up. How many times did the Lord have to resist the devil before He completely fled from him? The Word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus was tempted of Satan at least three times. Satan came to Him over and over, at least three times that we have record of in the Word of God. So that old adversary is going to continue coming at you and continue to coming at you, but you have to continue in that faith. Lord, the promises of God are true to me. It's kind of like Uncle Lonnie and Brother Eric. They've seen other people get new livers and new kidneys. They know that it's possible. They know that you can do it. The doctor is saying, yeah, I can do it. We can do this. But you hadn't had a new one yet. He hadn't had a new one put in him yet. So there's this uncertainty of, I know that he'll do it for somebody else because I've seen it happen. I've seen other people receive the Holy Ghost, and I know that he'll do that. But I hadn't actually gotten a new liver, or I haven't received the Holy Ghost, so I'm not sure he'll do it for me. You got to put that doubt aside and stand on the promises of God that He will give you the Holy Ghost. And you know, I'm going to try and wrap this up, but I was thinking about another thing that my father-in-law, when he was down in Alabama a couple of weeks ago, he told a story about Sister Helen, my grandmother-in-law. And he said that when she started coming around holiness, at first, she kind of, you know, made fun of it a little bit, you know, and said, these people are kind of crazy, which that's happened from the beginning of time, from the very first time the Holy Ghost was ever poured out. It happened back then. He said that the people there, when they saw that the Holy Ghost had been poured out, they looked and they said, "These people are drunk on some kind of new wine. Why in the world are they staggering all around up there? And what is wrong with them?" But she says she came around holiness and got to looking, and she was kind of making fun of it a little bit. So that's kind of crazy. And then she was in a service one day, and I think the Lord came by a little bit, and she ended up running out to the car. It scared her so bad. She had to get out of the church. She had to just run over to the car and sit out in the car. And Granddad's mother, Brother Billy's mother, said, "Billy, I don't know what she'd have done if that was a good service." Said it was just kind of a dry service. And I don't know what she'd have done if it was a good one. But Brother Billy, he was not Brother Billy yet. So Sister Helen's husband, Billy, had not received the Holy Ghost yet. Sister Helen, that word of God is so precious. It's so good. It began to reach down into that heart of stone that she had, that heart that made her run from the Lord, that heart that made her make fun of the things that she didn't understand, and that love of God began to reach down into that heart of stone, and it began to break it up a little bit and get it ready for the seeds to go down in there. And that word of God came to her, and those seeds went down, and they began to bring forth fruit, and she went down to the altar. She had never seen a person receive the Holy Ghost in her whole life. Not one person. She had been around holiness for just a little while. She had not seen the first person receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have seen somebody receive the Holy Ghost to believe that the Holy Ghost is real and to know that you can leave here a child of God today. You don't have to have seen somebody else do it. If you put your faith and your trust in the Lord, that Holy Ghost will come down upon you. If you'll repent of that sin, put your faith in the Lord, that Holy Ghost will come down on you, and that evidence, that power of the Lord will hover down right upon you, and He says He'll pour out His Spirit upon you, and you'll witness back to the Father just like they did on the day of Pentecost, and that tongue will run under the power of the Lord, and no man will have anything to do with it. There won't be any chin shaking going on. You won't be going down there and talking to them and say, I think your tongue ran. That none of that's going to happen. To me, that's getting out of line in the house of the Lord. If you're out there trying to help the Lord give people the Holy Ghost, you need to be careful what you're doing. That doesn't happen. The Lord doesn't need any help. Thank God He doesn't need any help pouring out the Holy Ghost. When He gets ready to pour it out and that heart is ready, that Holy Ghost is going to come down. And when it does, every child of God that's in here, thank God, will know that the Holy Ghost has been given. Sister, when you came and laid hands on me, I felt that good, sweet power of the Lord. Thank God. Glory to God. I love the Lord today because I'd never met this sister before in my life. But that Holy Ghost makes connection. When we're together, His children, we're all the children of God. If we got the Holy Ghost, doesn't matter how far away we are from each other, we're His children. Glory to God. And that tongue will begin to run under the anointing of the Lord, and it'll testify, and you won't have a thing to do with it. You don't have to have seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost. You just got to believe it and be obedient to the Word of God. Be willing to go under that anesthesia and give your complete control, your complete will, yea, even your own life, everything of yourself. Give it to the Lord. Let Him give you a new heart. Brother Langston, if y'all get a song, I believe it's about time to let them pray. Glory to God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, God. Glory to God. Lord, I praise You. This Spirit of the Lord, Granny said there she saw a vision one day or a dream, and there was a river just flowing out from underneath that church over there. That river ain't dried up one bit. Glory to God. That river is just flowing just as strong as it ever was. Glory to God. And you can leave a child of the living God today. Glory to God. As a child of God, come down here, surrender your life to the Lord, and let Him give you a new heart. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.